realize that we've been in and around this building a great deal today between our morning service and then the get-together after lunch, and then the ladies were back preparing for a ladies' day coming up, and now the song service this afternoon. So all I've got to say is on this one side of this little slip of paper, and I will get that said as quickly as possible, and we will conclude our services today. We're thankful for the presence of each one represented this evening, and we were thankful for the number of visitors that we had this morning. Let's be mindful this coming week of those that are homesick, recovering, that are under doctor's treatments, and be mindful of their needs and concerns. The topic of our study this afternoon is titled Power in the Home. And our text is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 4. Read with me if you will. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, quite often when we think about the term power, we think about muscle strength. And when we think about power, we think about horsepower. But if you look at the term power, in some instances, the dictionary says that power has the ability to change behavior. Normally, we don't really connect parental behavior with power. We don't necessarily think about power in the home. But when you think about the gospel is God's power to save man, then the power of the gospel can change one's behavior. For example, if you remember when we were studying in the Old Testament, back in Genesis, the 13th chapter, Lot got into a very difficult situation, or Abraham got into a very difficult situation with his kinsperson, Lot. And they sit down and they discuss the situation. They were having family problems. And Abraham came up with the conclusion. He said, I tell you what we can do. Lot, I think it's best that we divide, that we go in two different directions. And I want you to go out and you look around and you pick out the land that you want. And you take your family and your servants and your cattle and your lambs and your livestock, and you go and you possess that particular land. And when you get through with your choice and you take your location as a family, then my family and myself will take my livestock and go in the opposite direction. And he went on to explain to Lot, it's far better for us to do this than to have strife among each other. So when you're thinking about a family relationship and you're thinking about the fact that the power of the gospel, the word of God, has the ability to change one's lives, well, then there's a need for power in the home, but we need the type of power that changes one's behavior. From the type of behavior that is unpleasant and unpleasing to a type of behavior that is pleasing to God, and the type of behavior that will change the environment of that particular home. Remember also we were studying in the Old Testament, and we studied about a couple by the name of Ahab and Jezebel. We made the statement when we were studying in that section of the Old Testament that you never go into a hospital room and there's a young newborn baby girl and they say, look, I'd like to present to you our young baby Jezebel. Because you know the story and the history of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard worse than anyone could imagine. He was so jealous and so envious of Naboth's vineyard. He wanted that vineyard. He went to buy that vineyard and Naboth said, it's not for sale. I have every intention of working that vineyard until I die. And when I pass from this life out into eternity, I'm passing it on to my family lineage. Upset Ahab so bad that he went back and he went into a deep depression. And of course his wife Jezebel noticed Ahab's behavior and comes to a conclusion. It made her angry. She could not control herself and she comes up with a plan. She decides that she's going to take the life of Naboth and has Naboth killed. Sheds his blood to possess that particular vineyard. So you see a negative side of the power in a home when it's out of control, that it's not guided by the Word of God, that it can change the behavior from a positive standpoint to a negative standpoint. I was reading a book several years ago and it was talking about behavior and how to change family behavior. And they talked about the fact that there was three different types of discipline. And once I mention this, I think it'll readily come to your mind. They said the first thing and the most popular type of discipline in our society today was permissive discipline. Now you've seen that. And you know how that permissive discipline works. When mom and dad want to be buddies to their children, and they lose the full concept of what it means to provide the type of guidance in a family that gives constructive discipline. And they just permit the children to do anything that they want to do, live any way they want to live, go and do what they want to do, because they're practicing permissive behavior. And then there is authoritative discipline or behavior. Now that's the type that we really need to focus on. We talked a little bit about that in our Bible class this morning, or in our preaching service this morning, when we use tips from Deuteronomy, from God the Father, who loved his children and loved those children enough that he provided for them and provided the information that we would know how to conduct our lives and construct our lifestyle. For example, a parent that uses this type of practice or this type of discipline, they sit down and they reason, they explain why we do the things that we do, why there are certain guidelines in our family. And this is the way that this is why we do certain things, and this is why we do. This is the benefits of doing. And when you're talking about your worship and your relationship with God, and when you're thinking about that, you let them know that when you practice this type of behavior, when you discipline yourself to be involved in a constructive Bible study, when you're trying to live and be pleasing in the sight of God, when you're trying to rule this family in such a way that they see God living in the lives of the mother and the dad, and they see the benefit, the constructive good that comes when you reason, when you explain, when you establish rules and regulations for that family, and that child and that daughter or those children are able to be brought up in an atmosphere to where they see the benefits of this type of behavior. And then there is the authoritarian behavior. I guess maybe I would fall into that category, because it's common in the South for the husbands many times to display power, and they distribute their attitude and their animosity. They don't see any need to tell a son or a daughter, no, you're not going to do that, and we're not even going to talk about it. We're not going to explain to you why you can't do that. We're not going to talk about why we live this way. It's this way or the highway. This is the way it's going to be. And it's not unusual for them to have that type of attitude toward their children. It's not unusual for them to have that attitude toward their wife. But when you're talking about the power in the home, and when you're talking about power in the home that is directed by the power of the gospel, and you're looking at it as your guide and as it as your authority to raise your children, rear your children in a godly home, then let's flip back over one chapter to chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians. And notice, if you will, again in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 22, but before we start reading there, I'd like to read the first verse just to establish kind of what we're doing here in this particular chapter, the point that Paul was trying to make. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Notice, if you will, Paul is going to give us some advice. He's going to explain to us through the Word of God. He's going to explain to us from the power of the gospel how that God wants us to live, how that God wants us as a family to be and conduct ourselves in our homes. He wants us to be followers of God as dear children. Now he's going to start in verse 22, and he's going to give an example of the family and the church. And he says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Notice, if you will, that Paul kind of starts with a chain of authority. Now, he's going to give some very serious instruction for the husband of that particular family in a few moments. But now you just stop and think. Based on the three descriptive terms that we just mentioned, permissive, authoritative, and authoritarian, you see, when you're talking about authoritarian, lifestyle and attitude, how difficult it would be, what a burden it would be on a wife to be a wife of a husband that had that mentality and that attitude. But look at the type of attitude Paul is saying. Wives are to submit themselves to their husbands as the husband submit to the Lord. You see the chain here? There is the Lord, who is the head of the body, who is the head of the church, that is the Savior of the body, that gave his life for that body, that purchased that body with his own shed blood, and there is the husband, and then there is the wife. And it says the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, look at this. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, that's one of the basic underlying principles that we need as husbands to pass on to our children. That's the basic principle that young mothers need to pass on to their children. They need for them to understand. Now, look, son, look, daughter, as you grow up and as you mature, you need to understand there is a chain of authority. And this chain of authority is very helpful, and it's very needful, and it's very beneficial, because it was given from God the Father to God the Son, through God the Spirit, through the apostles, to us. And it's information that will change the behavior of our families. It's the type of information that will change the way we treat each other in our family. And he tells the husbands, now husband, you're to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now that really gets down, as the old saying goes, where the rubber meets the road. Because we know how much the Lord loved the church. He left the very portals of heaven itself and came to this earth and was crucified on the cross and placed in that borrowed tomb. He gave his life for the church. So what Paul is telling the Ephesians here, he says, look, men are to love these mates as much as they love their own body. And he used the example of Christ in the church. You love your wife as much as Christ loved the church, and he was willing to give his life for it. He did give his life for it. You need to be willing to give your life for your mate. And then he goes on and tells them in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, for this cause. Shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And he goes on to say, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then he goes on to close by saying, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now notice, if you will, what the Apostle Paul is really saying here. He's giving us a program. He's giving us a way to discipline our families, a way to raise our children. He's giving us power and structure in our homes. But is it not sad to look around us today? It really makes us aware of how desperately we need the gospel taught to a lost and a dying world. Not only that, but we see how desperately we need to get this message taught in the body of Christ. I remember 30 years ago, I was reading an article. And it said that over 50% of the marriages end in a divorce court with some judge saying divorce granted. Now, can you imagine now, some 30 years later, and especially with the attitude and the mentality with so many couples just living together without the bond of matrimony? And you know, looking around, what condition many homes are in. And we realize in the body of Christ the conditions of many homes with members of the body that are faithful members, that are worshiping God on a regular basis, but if they just look in the mirror and they just focus and examine their life based on the Word of God, they'll have to admit, you know, I believe I could put some effort into this marriage, and I really believe I could make it better. Because you see, we got the guide. We know we have the power of the gospel. We know the information is there. If we search it out, if we rely on it, and if that is our standard of authority, and we understand there's Christ who is head of the church, the husband is head of the family, and the husband is to love the wife just as much as Christ loved the church and love his wife like he loves his own body. And if the wife and the husband make decisions together, the wife supports the husband supports the wife, then I think Paul is saying here that you'll see the behavior of our families and the body of Christ change drastically for the good, not the worse. If you're in the audience this evening and you need the prayers of the congregation in any way, why not take the opportunity, as Dale leads us in this last song, to come forward and